Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. This is Megan's MegaCan. I'm Megan. I'm here with my trusty, ever reliable, ever well informed co-host, Conrad Werner.
Hello.
How are you today?
Ruddy bloody good, actually.
Ruddy bloody good. Wow.
I'm okay.
That's very public school of you, by which I, of course, mean private school.
Yeah.
What are we drinking today? What are we drinking today?
We're still not drinking alcohol, are we?
We're still not drinking alcohol. No, I've not drunk any alcohol for 4 weeks.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah, it does actually feel very good. And if you're considering having a break, it's not as difficult as you think it's going to be.
No.
In saying that, I do really miss mega cans. Like, I really miss them. They're so delicious and just perk you up. And I have been finding it quite difficult.
Is there nothing
to listen to the news without booze?
Yeah. Is there no non-alcoholic alternative to a mega can?
I was thinking this the other day, and I was like, Megan, that's just a can of Coke or other soft drink in a can.
Well, you know, in America, like, no. They do not drink mega cans, obviously, because in general you don't get them in gas stations, as they call them. And instead, they have, like, monster energy drinks, but, like, monster energy drinks, like, huge ones.
You used to be able, I don't think you can get them anymore, but when I was in, the last time I was in America, which is when I just turned 21... You could get this monster, like, you mean like the 500 mils or more?
Yeah, and they're full of everything that is even remotely legal.
Yes, but you used to be able to get alcoholic ones of those when I was there.
Oh, right.
Called Sparks.
Oh, right, cool.
And they were terrifying and disgusting and amazing, if you can imagine.
And there's ones like called Jolt, and they've got like, they're like 50% caffeine or something ridiculous.
That's insane.
I made that up. Don't everyone tweet that Ben thinks there's some such thing as 50% caffeine, because that'll kill you.
So what we're drinking today, so you mentioned, I was like, do you want me to get you a mega can? And you were like, no, I'm feeling a bit under the weather. I've got a bit of sore throat. And then I was walking around the supermarket and I came across a drink called All I Need.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's in a matte can, which, as we know from mega territory, that means classy. However, I do think it's probably going to be gross. But maybe it's going to be amazing, because the slogan is inspiring organic energy.
Right.
And it's a full stop after all of those. And when I read it out loud, it sounds like it should be not just three words. That sounds like a phrase.
Yeah.
But that's not how it's written.
It sounds like a therapy session more than a soft drink.
Yeah. Well, this is what I thought maybe we needed. And it's got, oh God, they've got different Aktivierungs levels.
All I Need.
Yeah. This has got levels. So this is, you've got a choice of three. This is white tea in the black
tin. Okay.
I remember that. Like, you can peruse it.
I'll just peruse it for now and open it.
And then in the reddish tin, this has only got an Aktivierungs level of 2. League.
Oh, yeah. I see,
but
yeah.
It's still... Oh, this is inspiring organic cola nut. Oh, God, that might be an energy drink, the one you've got.
Ooh. Yeah, mine says...
This is black tea with cola nut.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be gross, isn't it?
Mine says it's got a lot of caffeine in it, and it's cold brewed.
Right, okay. But then... So this is caffeine... I've got a black tea. I've also got a green tea. That's only got an Aktivierungs level of 1.
Oh, no. I need more than one.
You need more than one. Okay.
Well, what's the red one?
This is inspiring organic superfruits.
Oh. Well, now you mentioned superfruits.
You had me at superfruits.
What's a superfruit? Blueberries, yeah? Cranberries?
No.
What's a superfruit?
God knows. I think they're... It's just...
Those weird star-shaped ones? No.
They don't actually say. It's just fruit juice. It's just a bit of, like, Ribena.
They just made it up. They don't even know.
They are pulling all of this out of their vegan butts. It is vegan, though. It's bio.
And it's CO2 neutral.
Well, that's good. That's, you
it
know.
It says on the can.
We were depressed about the Klima Paket after that one, but if everyone just switches to drinking these little buddies...
All I need.
All I need.
Okay.
So I'm going to go... Are you going to go with that one?
Yeah, now, yeah, I'm kind of into this.
Because I'm going to go Aktivierungs level 2 then. Activation level 2.
I'm going to go 3, and mine is white tea with apple and lime.
Mine is black tea with cola nut.
Ooh.
All right. I thought we would also like a tin, like a can.
Yeah, okay.
Oh God.
Thank you.
Cheers. Right.
Cheers.
That is weird.
Yeah, mine is weird too.
What the hell?
There's all kinds of things in your face.
I don't know how I feel about this. It's like the foretaste is like cola bottle, like quite nice, but then the aftertaste is something different.
Yeah, it's like so many different things.
It's like cola that's gone a bit flat, and then the aftertaste is just water, like watered down.
Does not sound nice.
It's not nice.
Yeah, mine is sort of... I don't know if I've got words to describe what I'm drinking. It's got the... There's some kind of tea.
Back to the megas soon.
I can tell that they've done something with tea.
Yes.
But apple and lime? Maybe. I guess there's something that...
I've got cola. I don't know what a cola nut is, but it's definitely cola-esque. Cola's not from a nut, is it?
No.
But there is cola nut. Like, I know that is a thing.
Yeah, I could spend the whole podcast trying to explain what I'm drinking.
And we're both like a bit of Celtic, so I don't really want to taste your thing. We should have pouring glasses, and we can pour a little bit in and then drink it.
Yeah, and sort of sniff it. I mean, I suppose it's quite nice. It's not what you'd think it was. This definitely doesn't taste like an Apfelschorle, for example, even though it's got apple in it.
No, it's tea.
And it does taste a little bit like tea, but funny tea.
But which tea? Yours is the white tea.
Mine is white tea.
Yeah. Like mine...
I mean, I don't know if it's all I need, is what I'm saying. It's some of the things I need, maybe. Maybe it's just...
Do you know what? Like, sometimes you don't know...
It's definitely not what I want.
No, but this, it's that Rolling Stones song of drinks.
Yeah. And apple and lime in it, and it might be what you need.
I'm not sure this is what we need, but anyway.
Depends what situation
we're
in.
What I need is a mega can, because we're going to start talking about the news. Yeah.
Oh, I got a little anecdote to tell you first, though.
Ooh.
Guess who was in my work? He wasn't actually in my work, because there was a conference going on down in the atrium, and the theme was like YouTubers, and they had as a special guest Rezo, but he was just...
Oh my goodness. He
was on Skype. He Skyped in.
He Skyped in?
Yeah.
Maybe he only exists on the internet.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really in your work then, was he?
No, he wasn't really in my work, but he was live there, like he was speaking live, and in a sort of conference panel situation. And
who is Rezo?
Rezo. He is the YouTuber who made a video before the European election in May, where it was called The Destruction of the CDU. That was the title of his...
He tore them a new one, didn't he?
Yeah. And he...
Has he got blue hair? Orange hair?
Blue hair.
Blue hair,
He's got blue hair, and he often wears an orange hoodie.
Yes, that's what I was getting confused with. Blue hair, orange hoodie.
But this was a little bit the Lion's Den situation, because he was in the Hauptstadt studio, where all the Hauptstadt journalists and like me work.
You're a Hauptstadt journalist.
Yeah, can't you tell? That's where I work anyway.
I don't know what a a capital city.
Well, I'm
journalist.
I'm in the media bubble. I'm in the elite.
Are
media
you the
bubble.
Liberal elite?
I am the liberal elite. Oh. I thought you might. That's where my office is, right? So, and the conference was mainly for those types of people. It was mainly for journalists, right? It was done by Deutschlandfunk. And it was like discussions about journalism. And they did this thing about YouTubers and he was on. And he has been often quite critical of the German media.
Mm.
And he was saying like they're all like in bed with the main parties and everything like that. And that was part of that impact that his video had was like a lot of journalists were really empört outraged, you know, about what he was doing. Yeah. And they were saying, this isn't journalism, and this is a polemic, and this is one-sided, and this is not how you do it, like that kind of thing. And
there is a lot of emphasis on the both sides of the argument, would you say?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I know from having to, like, teach Abitur, which is the German, like, high school, end of high school qualification at age 18, that there's a lot of, like, they have to do lots of discussion tasks in an essay where they, like, weigh up pro and contra, and it has to be.
Yeah.
We never did that. It was just, like, write an argument.
But his video was, like, they made a lot of this, as his video was obviously really well constructed, you know? Yeah. Like, it was, like, he spent a lot of time on it. He'd got this editor, and if you watch the video, there's, like, he, like, proves every little thing. Like, every time he says something, he has, like, there's, like, a footnote comes up on the screen with a link, and he can click on it and everything like that. So it was, like, a big thing like that. So it caused a bit of a debate, and then one of the journalists, because it was open to questions, one of the journalists said, it was like quite directly critical, and said all this about how it was a polemic, and Riza was a little bit of a cheeky little get, I have to say. he's quite young.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't know exactly how old he is, early 20s or something, and he was like, he was expecting a question like that, and he was really enjoyed it. Like, he said, like, good, I'm glad somebody's asked a critical question. He kept saying this. He said, right, this is what I think. And he was like really cheeky to all the journalists, and there's like about 150 of them there.
What did he say?
He was just like, you are all educated in journalism, but I am educated in logic. I know more about logic than you. Like, he was like that.
Oh, dear.
And
dear.
And he was like he really enjoyed the like pissing people off. And it was quite fun. It was all in
fun.
Good spirits, but it was he was like trying to rile people.
Yeah, well, that is the kind of thing that he does now, or certainly that was the kind of when he did that, like, destruction of this CDU. It was definitely aiming to set the cat amongst the pigeons, as it were.
But it was good, because that's the first time I've seen him, like, in a sort of debate situation.
Yeah,
and, he was like super confident and very a bit cheeky.
He's in his early 20s. That's what they do. That's
he's sort of like, he was like that. He was just like a really clever kid.
The logic argument a little bit. Because you can argue that with everyone, and that's, I think, what a lot of these kind of super right-wing YouTubers argue. They're just like, let me break this down for you logically, and it's actually not logical, it's just said. Like, Jordan Peterson would be one like that as well, this kind of very rational, logical, you know, this is just, and it's actually...
Yeah.
It's about as based in any form of, like, evidential reality than my emotive ramblings on here.
Yeah,
I just have a different means of expressing it.
Yeah, I mean, you can find evidence to lock up any argument, can't you? To thread an argument together, and obviously it's like.
But not all arguments are worth arguing, would be my point.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Well, that was exciting.
That was a bit exciting.
That does sound good.
Anyway,
so what else has been happening? What else do I need to know? Because we're going to do a quickie today, are we?
Yeah, we've got like 15 minutes left.
Right, well, what do I need to know in this 15 minutes? And our lovely listeners. Thank you for listening, by the way.
Yeah, it's thank you.
Heartening.
Right. Earlier this week, on Monday morning, the Turkish Interior Ministry took everyone by surprise by saying... All those Islamic State supporters that we've arrested and kept in prisons for who have been travelling from different European countries to try and get to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them we captured in Syria. Some of them captured trying to get into Syria.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to send them all back now, and
oh god,
and this has caused, like, a bit of a problem for different European countries, especially Germany. Other European countries, for example, France and the UK, have been, like, quietly revoking citizenship of a lot of these people, which is illegal in many ways, because you're not allowed to make someone stateless. But they've been doing it anyway.
Anymore.
Although if they've got a dual citizenship, then it's not illegal. But Germany has also passed a law to make revoke citizenship of Islamic State supporters, but they only did it this year, so a bit too late, and it doesn't work retrospectively, not retroactively. And so now, okay, this week, a family from Hildesheim, who were German-Iraqi, they were they didn't actually join Islamic State. It was like a bit complicated. What they did is they just, like, it was like a father, two parents, two adult children, and three kids. He just took them all off towards Syria. They were picked up on the way. We don't know. It's not very clear exactly if they actually made it to Syria. Either way, they were picked up by the Turkish authorities, put in prison earlier this year in March, and now they were all sent back this week. They were all put back to Germany. They landed in Berlin. And the thing is, like, they haven't actually broken any laws, and they weren't on the radar of the German intelligence services. They just walked free. They just let them out. Like, there was no arrest warrant against them. There are a lot of Islamic State members, fighters, where there are German arrest warrants out for them. Mm-hmm. But these ones, they were just like, it's just this family of seven, and who obviously wanted to join or trying to join Islamic State, or were like wanted to move there, but for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And they were obviously extremely, they were what Germans like to call Salafists, which is like this sort of extremely conservative interpretation of Islam.
Okay.
And so they were just like, and this was like a bit of a media scandal at the beginning mm-hmm. of the week, and the German authorities were saying, yeah, but this happens all the time. If we have any evidence that they want to commit a crime, yeah, then we will arrest them and everything like that. So this was like a thing. And then there were two more that went. So all in all, there were nine with German passports mm-hmm. who were brought back this week. And but what this sort of did was it kind of exposed Germany's policy towards these Islamic State people, because they've known about them for a long time, and there are others. They say there's like 95 Islamic State supporters and members in prison, either in Syria or in Turkey,
that have German citizenship.
Yeah. And
wow,
there are a lot of people, a lot of lawyers saying, well, we should bring them back, because then we could put them on trial, and then we could gather evidence about what they'd done, and also, you know, there would be a legal process.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them, the ones that, and look, because a lot of them come back voluntarily, like that, they say that is a safer way of dealing with it than just letting them like rot in a prison where they become amongst other extremists, where they might escape, because a lot of them are escaping now because Turkey is invading.
That seems like the responsible.
Yeah. But obviously that is like politically more difficult to do because that means bringing, you know, what you have this idea that they're terrorists. So. And they bring them back, and then now it's caused a bit of a thing, and now everyone's saying that they should have brought back. And there's a lot of them come back voluntarily, like a lot of them are teenagers, like 17-year-olds, 15-year-olds. They go over there and they realize that they've just like, this is a really bad idea. Like these kids, they end up in like suicide squads or whatever in these countries, and then they escape voluntarily, and they make it back. And they end up, because they've joined a terrorist organization, they do end up in prison here. But once they're in a German prison, it's like a different situation. And then they often get subjected to these de-radicalization programs. And there are a lot of really good organizations, like the Violence Prevention Network is one of them. They also work with Nazis, who actually do successfully de-radicalize a lot of these kids, because they're just kids and they're not, you know.
Yeah.
And they said the younger they are, the easier it is to get them back into society, you know.
Anyone who's spent like a significant amount of time with student, like people, young people of that age, and that's why, I mean, there was a case in the UK recently of a young woman, wasn't there? Shamima Begum, who had joined when she was really... young, and kind of been groomed into this, and then wanted to come back and obviously face this kind of like media backlash. And I can imagine it would be similar here.
Yeah, she's 15.
Oh, it's...
Although, she joined when she was 15.
Yes.
Now she's 19.
Yeah, and God knows what she's been through.
And the UK has just revoked her citizenship, which is like,
so that's what we do then to, because it is, it, when we are talking about the radicalization of young people, it is like grooming, isn't it? And she was groomed to go and be a quote unquote ISIS bride. And I think she had a child over there who didn't survive. And then it's just like, she's like, I've made a terrible mistake. Please, can I come home? And I'm not saying, I'm not advocating that young people are not held responsible for their actions. But this idea that we just go, no, it's not your home anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I do. I feel like I have, particularly when it's about people who are like 17 and whatever, because you're not capable of making... But it's difficult, because if they've gone over and like done loads of terrible things... Yeah. Then maybe they should be in prison.
Well, it's also very difficult to tell what they've done. Because, especially with the Germans, because Germany has no... The German police force doesn't have any connection with the Syrian police force where they can say, oh, can you help us collect evidence against this person or that person?
Yeah.
What there is, though, is that a lot of Yazidis and a lot of Kurds are willing to provide be witnesses.
Okay.
And there hasn't been any, like, there hasn't been any attempt by, like, German authorities to take advantage of that, because it's easier just to try and keep them away from as long as possible. But there are, like, there are organizations that
it's obviously it's a really complex issue, but What's Germany doing in the fight against radicalization? Because we've got a fair bit of it going on, seems.
Well,
across a range of political and motivational spectrums.
Yes. So after the Chemnitz incident last year, which is like there was a murder and like big racist. Or demonstrations and all that stuff. The family minister, Franziska Giffey? Of the SPD. She used to be, by the way, the mayor of Neukölln.
Did she?
Yeah. She was like, she was a rare example of someone who was promoted from a local politician to a federal politician without going, like, and she's quite popular. So she's the family minister, and she started this program called Demokratie Leben, which kind of funds through her ministry all these different projects that are like they're like educational projects. What you do is you apply. If you're an NGO, you say, "Oh, we're going to start. We're going to do a." Like an exhibition in Chemnitz all about the NSU murders and what the NSU, what the links were with Chemnitz and the NSU. You know, like they're trying to educate people about the extent and the range of like far-right extremism and what it leads to. So you can like apply for money so that is obviously a good thing. But there were a couple of scandals to do with that. One of them was that it turned out that the data from 51 of these projects were passed on by the family ministry to the German Secret Service.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Including like anti-Semitism projects, anti-like racism projects, like So that was like a bit of a like and.
Oh, we're going to fund this, like, come and provide support for things that are going to try for, like, anti-radicalization things, but we're going to take the data and pass it on to the Secret Service, if I got that right.
Yeah, the Verfassungsschutz. Right. I might have mentioned the Verfassungsschutz before.
I love the Verfassungsschutz. They were at the career and job messe that I was at today with.
Oh, right.
Some people. I didn't go and talk to them.
Yeah.
But
so they collect, their job is to collect information about these extremists, and so the family ministry is like helping them.
Programs. Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant.
So it turned out that for 4 years, between 2015 and 2018, they had passed on some like information about from these projects. So that was a big scandal. And the other thing is that while in the wake of Chemnitz and other things like that, the budget for those projects has gone up, for Demokratie Leben has gone up, there has also been, like, they've done this restructuring, which has resulted in a lot of the projects that were expecting to continue next year to be, like, suddenly defunded. And it was like they are quite angry about it and wrote an open letter.
I can imagine.
So it's like a bit of a B- for Franziska Giffey. Although she is like, she always says we need more money to do this stuff, and then it kind of doesn't really work out. But for example, she's like in the same party as the finance minister, Olaf Scholz, and she is kind of, she's got him on her side, so she's like makes sure that she keeps her budget for the family ministry, so she's like, they kind of but it didn't really that's that, really.
what to do with extremists.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean,
it's very hard. I don't want to, like, I can't.
There are a lot of, like, have you heard of Exit Deutschland?
No.
They're like a program for people who are in the neo-Nazi scene who want to get out. And it is often quite hard to get out of those scenes without being beaten up, you know?
Yeah. They're not nice people.
So they kind of help you with, like becoming anonymous and moving away and, like, finding, like, those kind of projects are really good, and there are quite a lot of them.
Yeah, we need to give them funding and support.
Anyway, that's the news this week.
That's the news this week. Great.
Well, we did have some good news. Have you got used to your drink yet?
That is a good way of putting it, rather than saying, are you enjoying your drink? I think I'm quite used to it. It feels like it's very sugary.
Does it? Mine is like not that sugary.
Yeah.
Actually, it says 4.5 grams of sugar.
Mine has got 6.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's grown on me, but it's like I have finished
I've just discovered who the bigger company. Because all I need is this company, but it's owned, it would appear, by Capri Sun.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, it's better than that mint mega can you once gave me. That minty one that was made with a German schnapps.
Oh, the Pfeffi one, yeah. It's and I would never say this. Like, it's like I really... You know, you never give up on people or my students and all of this, but that mega is undrinkable, I would say. I didn't know I gave you it on here. That was really mean. Why did I do that?
I don't know if you gave it me. I think I for some reason I have that taste sort of embedded in my mind somewhere.
Oh, dear. I think I bought one as a joke or something and then must have made you drink it. But
as a prank.
Yeah. But do we have some good news.
Yeah.
Some exciting news.
Yeah. On December the 7th.
Yes.
At 11 p.m.
At the family-friendly time of 11 p.m.
But it is a Saturday night. So
it is a Saturday night, so you can go wild.
We are doing our first ever live show.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's going to be an end-of-the-year quiz.
Yes.
Type thing. And we're going to have some special guests, some very special guests
very special guests.
Who are going to be both informative and entertaining.
Yes.
Yes.
Informative and or entertaining. I'm not promising both.
Well, we'll divide the roles up. Some of them will be informative.
That was just
my
own personal promise.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone else will manage both.
Well, that's the idea. If you have more guests, then you can kind of, you've got a better chance of getting informative and entertaining in one go.
Yeah, we can just, pool
we hedged
our
bets.
But yes, that is happening. Guests. That is December the 7th.
Where is it?
Comedy Cafe Berlin, which is in Neukölln. Yeah. On the corner of Weser and Rosegastrasse, I think.
Oh, well done.
Good.
Knew that off by heart.
I've been there quite a lot. Yeah.
We're very excited. And
we are super excited. So if you have ever wondered, who we are, I want to put a face, see if my face is kind of as nasal and annoying as my voice. I still find it baffling that people that don't know us might be listening.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe no one.
Maybe
I don't know. Maybe everyone.
Unless our friends listen to it.
Of course, we know who
repeatedly.
You are. You've already texted me about this.
Okay.
7th of December, we know.
Good.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, do come along. It'll be free.
It's nice to finish on news I'm excited about.
Will we provide mega cans?
We want to work something out there.
Yeah.
But
we'll see.
If that doesn't get you along at 11 p.m. on the 7th of December, what will?
Yeah. Okay.
Vague promise of megas to come to deepest, darkest my home.
Brilliant.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.